A very good morning, church. This is our last Lord's Day service of 2015. And I'm very glad that somehow, I didn't plan this, but it worked out that the last message on the book of Daniel ends today. So we have covered by today all 12 chapters on the book of Daniel. And I trust that God would use what we have heard and learned to spur us on to anticipate His glorious appearing, and while He tarries, to do all that we can individually and as a church to fulfill the Great Commission and preach the gospel not only here locally to our loved ones and our friends, but also to those who are further away from us, beyond Singapore, beyond even Asia. And may the Lord strengthen and help us to do so in the new year 2016. I'd like you to turn your Bibles to Daniel chapter 12 as I go through some outlines with you on this last chapter. The title of my message today is taken from our memory verse, Daniel chapter 12 and verse 4, shine like stars. Daniel chapter 12, verse 3, and they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. What a glorious reward. What a glorious prospect for all of us who live close and in obedience to the Lord, to our Savior Jesus Christ. Now we live in an age in which we expect everything to be fixable. We say everything can be fixed. To some extent, this is true because of modern technology. If your teeth aren't straight, orthodontics will set it right for you. If they aren't white enough, you can go for whitening treatment. If you don't like your body shape, you can try cosmetic surgery or some other methods of slimming your body. But exercise is still the best. If your job frustrates you, you search the classified advertisements for new opportunities that will fulfill your potential. You can't get along with your wife, some people say get a different one. Now that's not biblical, by the way. Whatever our problem is, we have been trained to believe that someone out there has the answer that will fix it. And this is true on a national and global scale, as well as a personal scale. Whether the problem is global warming, or world poverty, or dictatorial and oppressive governments, or terrorism, we think we can fix it. Perhaps we don't have the solutions to all of the world's problems worked out yet. But just give us a few more years and we will surely figure it out. We look at the message of Daniel and the Bible, especially the apocalyptic portions of Scripture, like the book of Daniel. It reminds us that we live in a world that cannot simply be fixed. It needs to be recreated. And this has been the message of the book of Daniel from the beginning, and it is still its focus as the book draws to its close. The prophet Isaiah agreed with the prophet Daniel when he foretold a glorious future in which there will be a new heavens and a new earth. This world cannot be fixed. It has to be recreated. While you put your finger in Daniel, maybe quickly flip with me to Isaiah 65. And listen to what the prophet Isaiah say here. Prophet Isaiah in chapter 65, verses 17 through 19. If you have turned to it, would you please read with me? For behold, I create a new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered nor come into mind. But be ye glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem, a rejoicing and a people a joy. And I will rejoice in Jerusalem and joy in my people, and the voice of weeping shall be no more heard in her, nor the voice of crying. This is not true of Israel today, but the day will come when God will recreate his people, even Israel, and also a new heavens and a new earth. Now, the book of Daniel is far from being a sedative, given to the suffering in order to dull their pain. On the contrary, the book of Daniel is a wake-up call to all of us to live with wisdom in this sinful, broken world. Let me say that again. The book of Daniel is a wake-up call to all of us to live with wisdom in this sinful and broken world. How will then this world and the problems of mankind be fixed or cured? Well, I say recreation. How will we finally be cured of our brokenness? And how will the broken world in which we live be restored to wholeness? And the answer is in the songs or carols that we sing during Christmas time. Ultimately, it is accomplished through God Himself taking human flesh in the person of Jesus Christ and being broken for us on the cross, paying the penalty of sin on your behalf and on my behalf. And it is because Christ suffered and died and has risen again on the third day that history has meaning and purpose, and so does our pain and our suffering. It is because Christ has shed his blood for me and you that we can look forward to spending eternity in his presence. Our heavenly inheritance, beloved, is all of grace. All of grace. And that glorious prospect will make any sacrifice that God calls you and me to make in this life more than worthwhile. Remember the hymn that we sing? It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. So whatever God calls you and me to sacrifice on behalf of his name, his gospel, his kingdom, it will be worth it all. Prospect of heaven is the answer to Satan's temptations, to compromise and to submit to his ways. The anticipation of seeing God's face shining on us with the same warmth and love that he has for his own son is the answer to our present discouragement, difficulty, as well as despair. But let us lift up our eyes from the trials and difficulties of the present life and behold the glorious inheritance God has prepared for you and for me, all by grace. And once again, as Daniel closes his prophetic book, he points us to this glorious prospect of the coming of the kingdom of Christ, our Savior and our Lord. I want to quickly give you an overview of Daniel that we have run through for the sake of those who have missed certain messages here and there. Now, the book of Daniel can be divided into two big divisions. The first concerns his personal history, chapters 1 to chapter 6. And the second part will have to do with his prophetic ministry. All right? So we see him proving God in chapter 1, refusing to eat of the food and the wine from the king's table. Nebuchadnezzar's image vision was given in chapter 2 by God, which God wanted him to know through the prophet Daniel, his program for human governments. And then the next chapter, in chapter 3, we see the three Hebrew friends of Daniel being tested in the fiery furnace. They rather burn than bow to the statue of King Nebuchadnezzar. And Nebuchadnezzar's three visions was given to him in chapter 4 to warn him of the consequences of pride, hubris. God is a God who resists the proud, but he giveth grace to the humble. And how we need to walk humbly before him as well as before one another. Otherwise, in your pride and my pride, God will humble us like he did to King Nebuchadnezzar as well as to Belshazzar in chapter 5. When he was reveling, partying away, when the whole kingdom was under siege by the next human empire that was coming. How defiant he was. He was weighed in God's balance and found wanting. Interestingly, a few weeks ago, I kind of watched the news, and there was a little portion whereby PM Lee was giving a speech after or during his PAP conference. And he quoted this whole phrase. And he told his PAP MPs and ministers, let us not be weighed by the people, of course, because it's a secular government, and they needed our votes next 4 years or 5 years' time. Let us not be weighed, he said, and found what? Wanting. And the message of Daniel to you and me is that let us not be weighed in God's scale or balance and be found wanting. And finally, Daniel at his old age was tested again in chapter 6 in the lion's den because he refused to be unfaithful to God and bow to pressure by the secular government and his enemies. Chapter 7 to 12, we have his prophetic ministry where a vision of four beasts was given to Daniel the prophet in chapter 7. And there again, that is similar to the vision given to Nebuchadnezzar of the great statue image. And the second vision was given to him, which focuses on the empire of Alexander the Great, the ram and the goat. Third vision in chapter 9, we have God's prophetic program, the whole program revealed to Daniel, the vision of the 70 weeks, where this 70 weeks was divided into three phases. First 7 weeks, and the word weeks equals years. The first 7 times 7 years. Second phase, 62, and the third, 1 week of 7 years, which remains to be fulfilled. While Daniel was given this vision, he was under the reign of Persia. And the rest of the 70 weeks are still future to him. But for us, they are all past the first 69 weeks. And the last week is yet to be fulfilled. And God revealed his glory in chapter 10 in the setting of the final and fourth vision to Daniel, where we are given in chapter 11 a more detailed prophetic account of two of Alexander's great generals, the Ptolemies and the Seleucid dynasties. And finally, in our chapter today, we are going to look at the end times. The end times. So let's move on to consider Daniel 12, 1 to 4, please. And at that time, shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time, thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Now this will be such a time, sorry, I think I pressed it while I was reading the passage of Scripture. At that time in verse 1 refers to the time of the end mentioned in chapter 11, verse 40, when Antichrist will rule his kingdom from Israel and direct his battles against the nations. Michael, the great prince, referring to his position as an archangel. And you can find the references there in chapter 10, verse 13, 21, Jude 9, and Revelation 12, 7. Michael then will watch over God's people, the nation of Israel, to which Daniel belonged. So Michael the archangel seems to be the angel that God specially assigned to watch over and to protect the nation of Israel. And this will be such a time of trouble for Israel as has not previously come on any nation. So Israel is being warned in this prophecy that there's going to come a time of trouble they have never experienced before. If you think that the captivity is bad, worse is going to come to you, Israel. Such as never experienced by any nation on the face of the earth will come upon Israel. And this statement draws attention to the difficulties that will be faced by Israel, which Jeremiah in chapter 30, verse 7 calls the time of Jacob's trouble. And we know it as the Great Tribulation. The Great Tribulation. Matthew 24, verse 21, as well as Revelation 7, 14, also refer to this period of tribulation. While the Book of Life contains the names of all Christians, the stress here is on the deliverance of Israel. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life. The emphasis, of course, is on the nation of Israel as it turns to the Lord during the tribulation. And God delivers them from Antichrist's persecution. Even those who died shall be delivered. Now there will be many Jews killed during the Great Tribulation. If you want the details, go read Revelation. And many of those who sleep in the dust, the Bible says, of the earth shall awake. And those who died for their faith in Christ, God will deliver them. How? By what? Resurrecting them. Sleeping in the dust is a metaphor for death. And it reminds us that death is God's punishment for sin. For the wages of sin is death. Physical, spiritual, and ultimately eternal death. Separation from God, the Creator, in the lake of fire. It also reminds us that death is not permanent. We shall all awake from this sleep. Whether you are a believer or an unbeliever, you will awake from this sleep of death. Those who believe will awake to everlasting life. Those who are unbelievers will awake to everlasting death. So God's people to everlasting life, those who oppose God to everlasting shame and contempt. Such passages as John 5, 28-29, Revelation 24 to 6, 11 to 15, show that an interval of time separates the two resurrections, the resurrection of the righteous and the resurrection of the unbelievers. All right? There's a time of separation. And I think that is the time mentioned towards the end of chapter 12, where there is an additional 30 days as well as 45 days added to the 1,290 days, the 7 years of tribulation. All right? Scholars, of course, debate concerning this. They do not know the purpose for the additional 30, 45 days. We cannot be dogmatic regarding that because the Bible did not reveal specifically its purpose. But if we put some scriptures together, we'll find that at the end of the Great Tribulation, there'll be two resurrections. So I think those two period of time, 30, 45 days, refer to the first and the second resurrection of the saved and later the unsaved. Verse 3 states, those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the sky. This is a paraphrase from another version. And those who lead many to righteousness like stars forever and ever. The brightness of the firmament. The firmament means the sky. All right. Those who are wise are the same people who lead many to righteousness. If you lead people to righteousness, God says you are wise. If you lead people to unrighteousness and ungodliness, you are wicked. You see the contrast in the first four verses between the wicked and the wise. Not the wicked and the righteous, which we normally would think would be the opposite of wicked, but the wicked and the wise. Those who lead others to righteousness are those who demonstrate their faith and encourage others to faith. And this, even the humblest believer can do. You don't need to go to seminary to do that. You don't need to memorize the whole Bible in order to do that. You just need to love the Lord Jesus and be obedient to His word, to encourage others to faith and righteousness. And Daniel and his three friends are held up as our examples and models, you see, who are wise people who lead many to righteousness. The Lord Jesus promises a similar outcome for God's people when He said in Matthew 13, at the end of the age, He says, the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. The righteous will shine like the sun. The righteous will be exalted, in other words, in the kingdom of God. In the final days, God's people will face the worst persecution ever. But the good news is that even if they are martyred, which many of them will be, the Jews, God will raise them from the dead to everlasting life. Then they shall shine like stars forever and ever. And I hope that this God will impress upon our hearts. Although the prophecy of Daniel is specifically to the nation of Israel, which this last message is as well, I think it is applicable to us as well. Chapter 12, verse 3. If you and I, God's people, turn many to righteousness, we are wise. God considers us wise, and God will exalt us in His kingdom to come. we shall shine like stars forever and ever. And the angel instructs Daniel not to keep his message a secret, but to preserve it, especially for those who will need this encouragement and good news at the time of the end. It must be on record for God's people so that the events of the end will not take them by surprise. And thanks to Daniel, whom God used to record and preserve his revelation, that we can understand the program of God for the ages. To understand Revelation, you need the counterpart, Daniel. To understand Daniel more comprehensively, you need the book of Revelation. So they are two complementary apocalyptic literature of the Bible. Verse 4 ends with a prediction. Many shall be running back and forth, and evil shall increase. Quoting from Amos chapter 8, verse 12. And in light of the context of Daniel's book, it refers to the diligent search for the knowledge of the vision in the effort of understanding it. However, seeking to find the word of the Lord with their own strength and wisdom, people will not be able to find it and understand. Instead, evil shall increase, the evil that will culminate in the Antichrist who will seek to annihilate or destroy God's people. But God will have the last word. You and I can bet on that, can be sure of it. God will have the last word. Praise God. Not men, not any empire, not even the devil, the beast, and the false prophet. God will have the last word. So let us be encouraged then, people of God, to remain faithful to God even in the fiercest persecution. Our sovereign God is in control of human history to its smallest details, as we have seen in the book of Daniel. And Jesus himself predicted, "You will be hated by all because of my name, but not a hair of your head will perish, but your endurance. By your endurance you will gain your souls." Beloved, we may not, as New Testament believers, go through the tribulation because the rapture will take place before the tribulation. But while the Lord tarries and before the final week is being fulfilled, there is still a lapse of time in the church age where you and I may undergo severe persecution as well as New Testament believers. And we see this throughout the history of the Christian church already. There are still many countries that are not open to the gospel of Jesus Christ. There are still many Christians who are martyred for their faith, jailed and put in prison for preaching the gospel. We are fortunate to live in a country where the preaching of the gospel do not cause us to be thrown into prison. And we must not assume this privilege will be forever. There may come a time where the churches of Christ in countries that are relatively free to worship may be told, ordered not to preach Christ, as we see in the early church, where the apostles were asked, were commanded not to preach Christ. And there will be a time, perhaps, that you and I will have to be like the apostles and say, when that time come, we ought to what? Obey God rather than man. Are you ready for that day? Will you be able to be like Daniel? Now, there are two questions in the final passage of chapter 12, verses 5 to 13, and I'd like to paraphrase the question for you. The first question is asked by the angel. The angel asks a question in verse 6. Let's turn to your Bibles. And one said to the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, how long shall it be to the end of these what? Wonders. So the angel asked a question, how long will it be before these astonishing things are fulfilled? Apparently the answer was given in verse 7. I heard the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand unto heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever, that it shall be for a time, times and a half. And when he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people, all these things shall be finished. A time, times and a half refers to the second part of the tribulation, the second 3.5 years called the Great Tribulation. And at the Great Tribulation, Antichrist, who was initially friendly to Israel in the first 3.5 years, will turn against Israel and begin to destroy and persecute God's people and desecrate the temple in Jerusalem. And that is a time where Israel will face a trouble like they have never, ever experienced on the face of the earth. And at the end of that 3.5 years, God's program will be consummated, because God will destroy Antichrist by his power and put an end to his evil and wickedness. So that answer is given in verse 7. A question asked by Nathaniel in verse 8. Will you read that for me, please? Verse 8. And I heard. Daniel asks another question, and his question is, O my Lord, what will be the outcome of all this be? That's the sense of his question. And this is something I want to spend a little time with you to consider as we close the book of Daniel. True wisdom, according to this passage in Daniel, for living in a sinful and broken world is central to the two questions that are asked of God in this passage. The answer to the first question has two parts. It will be for time, times, and a half. And it will be for 1,290 days, etc. Verse 11 and verse 12. And the application for us is, in the first place, our struggle with sin and brokenness is limited by the Lord's mercy. And we need to remember that. A pastor told a story of a member in his congregation when he meets him on Sunday and asks him the question, how are you doing? And he will always reply, better than I deserve. Better than I deserve, pastor. Now this could be said glibly by any one of us, yet on a profound level, this is true. Isn't it? For all of us. Better than we deserve. Whatever our circumstances, they are better than we deserve. Are we experiencing physical pain and suffering? It is far less than the physical pain and suffering we deserve in hell. So that is better than we deserve. Is our progress in sanctification, Christian growth, slow and frustrating? Well, we have the promise that ultimately God's sanctifying work in our hearts, for which we should give thanks, even if it's only the ability to see our own sin and mourn for it, will be complete. And we will be purified and be like him as we see him as he is. And that too is better than we deserve. Are our earthly relationships damaged and broken? Nevertheless, through Jesus we have peace with God, our Father in heaven, which is better than we deserve. So no matter how challenging our lives may be, our trials, beloved, are limited by the Lord's mercy. There is an end to our pain and our suffering. Because there's going to be an end to God's program for Israel and his people. Secondly, we see that the timing of the exact end of our trials is known precisely to the Lord. And if that is true, then you and I should trust that our Heavenly Father will not put us through any unnecessary trials, nor will he keep us in them any longer than is necessary for our good, even when we cannot see that good ourselves. We understand this instinctively on the human level. As parents, many of us know that there are times when we deliberately cause pain to our children in a variety of ways they cannot understand. Let me give you an example. When a baby is born, we take the baby to the doctor for inoculations, injections, isn't it? And there are quite a few spread over months. We take our children also to the dentist. When we take our babies for inoculation, we know that they will cry when the needle goes in because it's painful to be pricked at that tender age by the needle. Why do we do it? For their good. And we take our children to the dentist even though we know that drilling out a cavity or pulling out a rotten milk tooth is painful and unpleasant. And our children often don't understand these things, but we as parents do them nonetheless because it is our responsibility. Our responsibility as parents who love our children very much to do them good. And sometimes those good hurts. In the same way, our Heavenly Father brings trials into your life and my life and exposes our sinfulness and brokenness in a variety of ways for exactly the right period of time, because he knows what challenges are necessary to move his work forward in our hearts and for how long they need to be applied in our lives. God knows exactly the time needed. So may God help us to remember these two things. How long? Well, Daniel, the day is coming when Jesus Christ will ride out to conquer and to recreate, a day when the kingdom of this world will become the kingdom of our God and his Christ. And Revelation 11, 15 to 18 records this final day. Well, let us read these four verses together, shall we? And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven, saying, "The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever." And the four saying, "We give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and was and art to come, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and hast reigned. And the nations were angry, and thy wrath is come, and the time of the dead, that they should be judged, and that thou shouldest give reward unto thy servants the prophets, and to the saints, and them that fear thy name, small and great, and shouldest destroy them which destroy the earth." Same message as Daniel. The day when the kingdom of Christ will come. "And thou shouldest give reward, shine as stars, unto thy servants the prophets, and to the saints, and them that fear thy name, both what? Small and great." That's going to be a glorious day. The prospect of believers is glorious. No more punishment for our sin, but rather God coming to give us his reward when he established his kingdom forever and ever. So when the final trumpet sounds for us, it will bring an end to all our earthly conflicts, and we will rise with Daniel and all the saints to receive our final reward in Christ. Our part is to persevere in faith and trust. What does a parent expect of young children when they go to the dentist? To enjoy the experience? To like it? To find it fun? Not at all. Children don't have to like the experience, but parents do expect them to what? Persevere with the experience. So too, in the face of incomprehensible experiences that come to us as a sinful people living in a sinful and broken world, we don't have to like the trials God permits and the conflicts, but we have to persevere. We can certainly cry out to our Heavenly Father, "How long, O Lord?" We can seek reassurance from Him, pleading with Him to show His presence with us in our pain and our suffering. Yet at the same time, we also need to persevere in obedient trust, seeking to obey Him in the midst of our pain, trusting that His wisdom is greater than ours. And we need to remind ourselves daily that the trials we face in our lives do not come to us from random chance, but from our Heavenly Father, who has fitted these trials to our needs to shape us into the people He wants us to be. Yes, God's thoughts are higher than our thoughts. God's ways are higher than our ways. So how, like Daniel, we are to go on our way and be faithful in the present task to which God has called us. How then should we live? Titus 11 to 14 gives us a good closing exhortation to the message of the book of Daniel. And let us all read together as we close. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify Himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. May God speak to our hearts. Beloved, brothers and sisters in Christ, will you shine like stars? We will ultimately, but while the Lord tarries, let us also shine for Him by turning many to righteousness and living wisely and circumspectly in this sinful and broken world for the praise of His glory. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, O Lord, please speak to our hearts so that we do not take what we have studied and learned from the book of Daniel to waste, but challenge us. Help us illumine our understanding of the prophecies and the visions that you have given in the book of Daniel, and spur us on to live godly, pure, holy lives till you come. And may we, like your word challenge us, challenge Daniel, challenge us to be wise and to turn many to righteousness, so that when you come to reward us, we would truly shine as stars forever and ever, and all for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.